Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. It's called The Shocking Tell-All, a terrific work of journalism. It's the new book, 12, the inside story of Tom Brady's season of redemption by acclaimed authors Casey Sherman and Dave Wedge, authors of the bestseller Boston Strong, which was adapted for the 2017 feature film Patriots Day. From allegations that New England deliberately underinflated footballs for the 2015 AFC Championship game, which saw the Patriots routing the Colts 45-7, through a tumultuous 2016 season that saw Tom Brady sit out a four-game suspension, then stage the greatest comeback in the history of the NFL. New revelations, unprecedented access, shedding light and clarity on Tom Brady and the Patriots dynasty. 12, the inside story of Tom Brady's season of redemption, and co-author Dave Wedge with us on This Week in America. Dave, a veteran journalist, best-selling author. He writes for Vice, was an award-winning investigative reporter and columnist for the Boston Herald for 14 years. Also written for Esquire, Newsweek, Dig Boston, among other outlets. A graduate of Boston College, a regular commentator on local national networks, including CNN, Fox News, CBS, MSNBC, CNBC, Good Morning America, and many others. Dave Wedge with us on the program. Dave, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I think my parents will be proud of it.
They should be. I think Dave has hit it big with this. This is just an amazing book and so much, and it's not just hype, new revelations in the book. And let's start with this unprecedented access. You even had interviews with Tom Brady. I think the first time when he's collaborated on a book that wasn't authored by him. How did you get behind the scenes like this?
So Casey and I, you know, my co-author Casey Sherman and I, you know, we've been reporters and writers around Boston for 20 years. So, you know, we both had a lot of experience down at Gillette Stadium over the years. When I was at the Herald, you know, I was not a sports reporter. I was a news reporter. But oftentimes, you know, I hate to say this, you know, being a Boston guy sounding like I'm boasting, but with all the championships we've had around here, it
yes.
becomes a news story a lot. So, you know, different things happen with the team, you know, the Chandler Jones when he got in some trouble with the law, and, you know, Ty Law years ago had some problems. And, you know, different things happen that are off the field. I ended up getting pulled into a lot of the coverage of that because I kind of know the landscape, and I was a news reporter. So, you know, Casey and I both know a lot of folks down there at Gillette Stadium. I think they respect our work, and, you know, they decided to you know, work with us to a degree. You know, we got some time with the crafts. We got a lot of time with several different players. We got some time with Tom Brady. But most importantly, I think the real key access that we got that allowed for some of the news that we were able to get for this book came from our interviews with the members of the NFLPA, the Players Association, including Damora Smith, the executive director. You know, remember when this happened, and I'm probably jumping ahead a little, but, you know, Brady was pretty much left on an island,
yes.
you know, and when he was left on that island, he had one place to turn, and that was to the union. And, you know, Tom Brady throughout his career had always been a great union guy. When the union needed Tom to be the face of the union for, you know, to fight for collective bargaining and different issues that the players' union was having with the league, Tom was always there and put his best foot forward. So when Tom needed the union in 2016 with Deflategate, they were there for him.
You know, it's interesting, and it's such a fascinating story. The book we're talking about is 12, the inside story of Tom Brady's season of redemption by Casey Sherman and Dave Wedge. Dave, our guest on This Week in America. The book's available wherever books are sold all across the country. Let's talk about, I was amazed at this relationship between Robert Kraft and Brady. And right at the beginning of the book, you go to May 19th of 2015 at the owner's meeting. And we get the impression that Kraft is going to fight this. He was even talking about the possibility of a lawsuit. And then he came out and he basically said, okay, let's just move on from here.
Yeah, so much as that was a surprise to everyone, Patriots fans certainly
yes.
around Boston and everyone in the league, because Bob Kraft at that point had indicated that he was going to fight this thing alongside Tom Brady, suddenly dropped the appeal and made that bombshell announcement at that event that you mentioned. That was also the day Tom Brady learned about it. And, you know, it was shocking to him as well. And he picked up the phone and he called Damora Smith, the head of the NFLPA, and gave a colorful comment that not safe for radio, but said, what the bleep, you know, why aren't I getting the support on this thing? And remember, this was 4 months after the Deflategate news broke. In the initial press conference with Bill Belichick, Bill Belichick was widely perceived as having thrown Tom under the bus when he said, he was asked about Deflategate, and he said, you know, you'll have to go ask Tom, go ask the quarterback. You know, so here's Brady, you know, good company man. He's done everything the Patriot way for his entire career, and now he's facing the most adversity that he's ever faced in his career beyond, you know, on-the-field stuff and injuries. And you know, his coach kind of took a step away from him, and his owner dropped the appeal and didn't really include him in that process. So I think Tom was not happy about that, and that's when he did what I just described before, was, you know, he turned to the union, and so he wasn't alone. He had the union to help him in this fight.
And you talk about the battle heated at times between Brady's agent and lawyers for the Players Association as they're trying to plot a defense strategy. Talk about that and getting them on the same page for this defense.
Yeah, look, you know, Roger Goodell, when this Deflategate happened, remember, he had a string of cases where he wound up with egg on his face, including Bountygate, which was the situation down there in New Orleans with players allegedly being paid to hurt other players. There was Bullygate down in Miami where there was some racial implications against some players, and they were hazing and stuff like that. And then, of course, there was the Ray Rice case. And in that Ray Rice case, which happened shortly before Deflategate, the commissioner looked really bad. And then most importantly, when Spygate happened, you know, Roger Goodell was viewed widely by critics of the Patriots and the league and other owners of colluding with Bob Kraft to really give the Patriots kind of a lighter sentence than they think they deserved on that scandal. And most importantly, he destroyed evidence. He got rid of the tapes without letting the other owners see them. And so I think when Deflategate happened, Roger Goodell was in a place where he needed to really plant his flag with the league and reassess his position at the top of this huge multi-billion-dollar global corporation and take control. And the way he did that was to take Deflategate and use it to really drop the hammer on the Patriots. And the reason he did that was to assert complete dominance over the league. And what better way to do that than to bring your top player to his knees?
Yeah, and you talk about Goodell basically demanding from Brady, we can go ahead and solve this, but you talk about somebody being thrown under the bus. He wanted the team employees that handled the footballs to be thrown under the bus. Was he just after to get something out of this so he could say, see, I am the powerful commissioner?
I think there's a lot of folks that think that, yeah. Certainly, you know, that's the NFLPA's position, is that, you know, Goodell, this was a power play against the union, and, you know, Tom Brady being who he is and the Patriots being the gold standard in the league, for Goodell to go after them was a symbolic way for him to show that he was take no prisoners sort of commissioner. At the end of the day, this was a minor equipment violation, and this is kind of really what we talk about in the book. Whether Tom Brady did or didn't deflate footballs or knew or didn't know, the bottom line is it was a minor equipment violation. It's akin to the pine tar incident with George Brett, or, you know, a hockey player with his stick curved too much. Maybe it's a competitive advantage, maybe it's not. It's debatable what people think, but Goodell used it to really come after the Patriots with all his might to show his absolute power, and he won.
It's interesting. It starts as a sports story. I don't want to say an obscure sports story, but sports talk radio is talking about it. It makes the sports pages, you mentioned before, covering news. All of a sudden becomes a news story. It's a national news story where this is going. And you talk in the book 12, the inside story of Tom Brady's season of redemption. Casey Sherman, Dave Wedge, Dave, our guest on the program, that what no statistic significant effect on the outcome of the game, whether the ball's a little overinflated or underinflated. So you're right, this what was a minor infraction.
Well, the real irony of Deflategate is that, you know, the NFL set up a sting operation where they had these balls and they checked them at halftime. At halftime, the Patriots were up by a touchdown. They went out in that second half after the balls, the supposedly underinflated balls, were removed from play, and the league put regulation inflated balls into play. That second half, the Patriots blew the Colts out. I think they outscored them 28-7 in that second half. And, you know, no one wants to talk about that. Everyone wants to say, oh, competitive advantage for the Patriots with underinflated footballs. Well, they were, it was a close game when they were playing with the underinflated football. So, but the bigger point here is, you know, the union and Roger Goodell were in the middle of several different fights, and this was the newest front where I think Goodell thought, and rightfully so, it turned out, that he had a great case study here to really show his power. And that's what the whole thing was all about.
This whole thing, let's go back to the AFC Championship game. You start by talking with Bob Kravitz, who covers the Colts for the Indianapolis newspaper. And he sort of said he had a weird feeling going on that game. And what things sort of, he's not quite sure what's going on. And he gets a phone call from apparently somebody went in the league office saying that basically the Patriots have been accused of underinflating the footballs.
Yeah, Bob Kravitz talked to us for this book, and he talked to us about how, you know, torn he was about sending that first tweet. And we write about it in the book. And,
yes.
You know, when he sends the tweet, he says, you know, all right, let's go break the internet. And he really hemmed and hawed. And anyone that is in journalism, especially sports journalism today, knows that a tweet, once it's sent, it's you're out on a limb, you know. And I think when Bob Kravitz went to sleep that night, he was really concerned, like, what if my information's not right? And I think a lot of journalists go through this exercise. You know, what if I got something wrong? What if there's more to the story that I don't know? When he woke up that next morning and he saw that ESPN had picked up on it and then took it even further, reporting that 11 of the 12 balls were underinflated and, you know, a detail that was since debunked, but everyone was chasing it, and it was not being knocked down by anybody. I think he felt better. Myself personally, you know, having covered a lot of this stuff over the years, and, you know, I've been a Patriots fan, admittedly, my entire life. You know, when I saw that first tweet that night, I had watched that game, and I was up late, and I was excited, and I was trolling the internet like everybody else, looking for every detail, and I saw that tweet from Bob Kravitz that they're investigating whether or not the Patriots had used underinflated balls during the game. I kind of laughed and rolled my eyes, and I think a lot of people did, because it just seemed so silly. It was like, oh, my Jesus, you know, Spygate,
yeah, yeah.
You know, and what's next? You know, what are they going to say, that they had an extra guy in the field? Like, what? You know, there just always seemed to be this constant thing with the Patriots where everyone's trying to find out how did they get a competitive edge this time and was it legal? And this seemed like the latest case of that. And at first it was very silly, but soon enough it turned into literally a federal court case and, frankly, probably the biggest sports scandal of the last 20 to 30 years.
No, it's interesting, behind the scenes, the power of the National Football League. You talk about this being a large multinational corporation. Article 46 is a little scary as I'm reading this in the book. What this basically gives the commissioner ability to punish for really a wide variety of offenses, not necessarily spelled out in the collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah, so who you should really talk to about this stuff is Damaris Smith. I hope you can get him on sometime.
We'd love to.
He'd be great on your show if he's willing to talk about this stuff. But, you know, the commissioner really does have absolute power. And in that capacity, he is the judge, jury, and executioner. And the courts have upheld that through Deflategate. That's what's really the big picture here. So now if Roger Goodell decides to take action against some player or some organization, it's really almost unchecked power at this point. You know, the precedent's been set here with Deflategate and other cases, but specifically the most recent example is this.
Let's talk about, in the book, you talk a little bit about Brady and Robert Kraft, their private moment before the Super Bowl. Talk about that and where that relationship is now, because that was really, Rocky's an understatement there for a while.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people, as happens with these books, they'll like to pull out one little quote or one little passage and make it emblematic of the entire thing and say, oh, Bob, you know, Bob Kraft and Tom Brady have had a falling out. But if you read the whole book, yeah, Tom Brady was mad that happened. But look, no one is 100% happy with everyone in their life. No one just walks through life, you know, with rainbows above their head and skipping and saying, boy, everything's great, you know. Everyone has disagreements, and that's what this was. It was a big disagreement. There was a lot of hurt there. I think Tom Brady was hurt by this whole thing. But by the time that Super Bowl came, you know, Tom Brady's mom was going through cancer. Mr. Kraft's wife had died of cancer a couple of years earlier, and Tom Brady was there for Bob Kraft. So Bob Kraft was there personally for Tom Brady while his mother was going through cancer. And in that moment when they were in the tunnel, and they always had a private moment before big games, and they were talking, you know, go get them, Tom, that sort of thing. They hugged, and they had a very private moment, and I think that's an indication there that despite what happened in Deflategate, and despite that they disagreed and didn't see eye to eye, and they had competing agendas almost in that situation, they still had a lot of mutual respect, and there's a lot of love and friendship there, I think, in that. And I think that exists today.
We've got a couple minutes left in the program. Let's talk about the legacy is at stake. Is Brady is going into not just the season, but, of course, the Super Bowl. Should he not win, it will go down. Yeah, see, if he doesn't cheat, the guy's not all that good. He went out there and, as I say, had the largest comeback in Super Bowl history. What did that teach you about, and did it change your attitude about Tom Brady and what an outstanding player this is?
Well, that's what's funny about this whole thing is, you know, everyone thought that when he won that amazing Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl, that was the end of the cheating accusations, because it was, you know, Spygate was behind him. He lost the Super Bowl in 07 and 2011, and people were saying, oh, look, see, he can't win the big game because he doesn't have the tapes anymore. And then the Seattle game came, and he won that Super Bowl, and then Deflategate came out. So everyone was saying, okay, maybe he wasn't taping stuff, but he had underinflated football. So that's why the Atlanta Falcons game is so huge for him, because everything was on the line. Everything was on the level. There's been no accusations of any cheating in that game. There's been no accusations of any underhandedness or anything like that. And he just went out, you know, look, when in that first half he got killed. He throws that interception, he's lying on the field, and he's an instant meme on the internet with the guy running by him, running the ball back for a touchdown, and everyone said, Tom Brady's done, his career's over, he's an old man. And then he comes out in that second half of the third quarter and the fourth quarter, and his lights out perfect, one of the greatest performances in NFL history. And I think when Tom Brady one day gets his gold jacket in Canton, Ohio, he'll look back on that game and that the season that we wrote about in this book is the biggest adversity that he had faced and his greatest moment.
It's an outstanding book. It's 12, The Inside Story of Tom Brady's Season of Redemption by Casey Sherman and Dave Wedge. Dave, our guest on the program, the book is available wherever books are sold, and you can link on directly to the web information on the web for the book at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Dave, excellent job. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Great. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.